Yeah, exactly. Yes. Okay, we're ready to continue. Moving on to exegesis, we are in lesson, is it 14 or 15? What did I put on your handouts? Didn't I? I think it's 15, though. Yep. Yeah, I think it's 15. Expanding your understanding of the process again. We're looking at the exegetical process. And again, I'm hoping that you're getting to the point where you're somewhat comfortable with all of this. You are knowledgeable about what's involved and you're able to go through it. Number one, you need to be abiding in Christ and pray for divine guidance. Two, read the passage repeatedly. Three, examine the general and specific context carefully. Four, recreate the passage accurately. Five, observe the content grammatically and syntactically. Six, discover the central idea and purpose of the passage. And here's where we're at. Number seven, address any interpretative problems that surface through your study. Now, your assignment was interact with 1 Timothy 2:15 by stating the pros and cons as it relates to the meaning of she will be saved through childbearing and who are the they referring to. Okay? That was your assignment, right? So let me get started by asking you, how did it go? Good. Was it difficult? Fairly easy? Okay. Okay. Yeah, when you start looking at all the things. Now, normally when you're doing this, some of them you'll just eject by just saying, that's out to lunch, you know. Who would ever think of that? Yeah, those are the easy ones, right? The ones that might have something worthwhile to say, obviously, are more difficult to deal with. So, you had six views, if I remember right. Yep, and Melinda found another one, didn't you, Melinda? Yeah. For those of you who are watching, it was a type view in which the woman was likened to the church who was giving birth to spiritual fruit in their life. Now if you can see that there, I've got a piece of Everglades to sell you. I mean, mercy. How would you ever find that? But you know, I'll tell you, some people see types all over the place. I'll tell you, you got to be very careful with typology. Because you can make, oh, this is a type of that, and this is a type of... Well, how do you know it is? Well, I just feel it. I see. I see. This type view, I'll just summarize it, was spawned by a female Pentecostal pastor who didn't want to offend her congregation at the obvious implications of the verse. And it came right down to it, okay? So, do you happen to have your answers in front of you so you can interact with it? Okay. Six views. The childbirth view, which took the view that the verse 15 again. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but to be in silence. By the way, you know, in verse 12, the NIV, which I don't like. I'm not an NIV fan. Now, I will quote it occasionally if I feel they got it right. But I don't quote it very often because I don't think oftentimes they get it right. And in addition to that, I will tell you, one of the real weaknesses of the NIV is with connectives. Oftentimes at the beginning of a sentence in the Greek, there will be a connective that they do not translate in the NIV, because they say it sounds better if they don't. And I'm thinking, tell that to the Holy Spirit, as if he needed an editor, you know. Why don't you just translate it? But in verse 12, the NIV, I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. Now, when you translate it, assume authority, what is the implication of that? Well, someone might give her legitimate authority as long as she doesn't assume it. In other words, women could assume authority, have authority, as long as they don't assume authority. And the word does not mean assume authority. It means to exercise authority. To have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed than Eve. Eve was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. So again, the first view is the childbirth view that says that the birth here in verse 15 is really the birth of Jesus Christ. The Savior. She will be saved. Salvation will be made available in the bearing of a child through Mary view. Okay? So, are there any pros to that view? Any pros, Melinda? Okay, one of the few. Okay. The pro is that you don't have to have a child to be saved. Okay, I didn't even put that in there because that was pretty self-understood. Okay, yes? Philip? Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm prone to think too. But how does it really, how do you deal with this particular view? Number one, the childbirth view. Okay. The pros. There's a definite article in the Greek here, by the way. There's a definite article in the Greek. So you look at verse 15 there. Let me get there. 1 Timothy 2:15. 1:15 there. Through the childbirth. The childbirth, right? Is how you translate it literally. Immediately you'd say the childbirth of who? It's the tendency, and some will say, well, the childbirth of Jesus Christ. The seed of the woman, Genesis 3, and the woman was referred to in verse 14 by way of Eve. So you see how they're trying to connect those dots? I'm not saying it's legitimate, I'm just saying that's what they do. The contrast is with the fall of verse 14. So those are the two pros. Now the con to this immediately is this is obscure. I mean, by a natural reading of it, would you say, oh yeah, the childbirth of Jesus Christ? I mean, it's foreign to the overall flow. And it doesn't fit with the rest of the verse. Why does it say she will be saved? Why doesn't it say everyone will be saved? Or salvation would be made available through the birth of a Savior? I mean, it just seems very forced. Not natural, obscure, foreign. And many other things could be said, but you get the gist of this here. Okay? Anyone think the childbirth view was the right view, by the way? Okay, very good, very good. You've passed Gibbs so far. Okay. Then there's the seed of the woman view. Now, this is, again, similar to number one. The pro is she will be saved. Goes back to Eve in verse 14, they say. They say that she has as its antecedent the woman of verse 14, which is Eve. And it ties into Genesis 3:15. This, again, is just kind of the flip side of the first view. The con, again, is the context is not about Eve, but about women. Isn't that what the context is about? I permit not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority, or exercise authority over the man, but to be in silence. Why? Da, 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 da. So the context isn't really about Eve, it's about women. And the mention of Eve in verse 14 is only a supporting point to the argument. It isn't the main point that they're even after. It's a supporting point. Then there is the view number three, will be saved through childbearing from the social ills of the day. The social ills of the day. Are there any pros to this view? Oh, by the way, anyone want to comment more on the seed of the woman view? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Number three, we'll be saved through childbearing from the social ills of the day. Any pros to this view? Any pros, Karen? Yeah, it avoids some issues, like the if clause. Okay. That avoids it. Yeah. Okay, Melinda. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there definitely seems to be driving in the right direction. Kind of seems to fit with it. Poochie? Yeah, it kind of fits the preservation motif that you're finding in the passage. Verse 9 is alluding to this, it looks like. Verse 9. Verse 12 could be alluding to this. 1 Timothy 5:13 through 15 is alluding to this. So when you look at 1 Timothy 5, It's clearly that some have gone after Satan and so forth. So that passage seems to be similar, and I think it is. It's similar to this. So those are the pros, I think, to this view. The con, I believe, is it doesn't seem to strongly hit the nail on the head in the context of verses 11 through 15 and the local church. Because remember, the context is what? Yeah, the functioning of women in the local church. What does being saved from the social ills of the day have to do with the local church? Yeah, now I understand. Yeah, there's people out there that, you know, they're crossword specialists. You know, they connect things that you just have never seen before, you know. Yes, question would be how does a single woman be saved from the social ills of the day? And their answer would be 1 Timothy 5, you need to get married. That would be the answer. You need to get married and bear children and so forth. And there's some truth to that. That's why 1 Timothy 5 says that. But again, where's the local church? How does this fit into the... It seems like there's truth to this, but is this contextually? Does this fit with the context? And my answer is no. I don't think it quite hits the nail on the head. Yes. Yeah, just hold your thought on the they, okay? Phil, if you want to always jump ahead here, you got to just hold back those horses, fella. No, that's okay. Yeah, I know. But it's true that the phrase childbirth literally means the bearing of children. The bearing of children. Okay? Number four, we'll be saved physically, kept safe through the trauma and process or from the pain of childbearing. Now, this was the name it and claim it prosperity view, right? The pro, save can refer to physical deliverance in the scriptures. Is that true? Yes. That's the only redeeming thing in the whole view. The con is this view is foreign in the passage. Many godly women have died during delivery. Many women survive physically the process of childbearing who are not godly women. Yes, and godly women experience pain. Otherwise, the depression they already feel, they get more depressed if they had any pain along the way. Both saved and unsaved women have experienced pain in childbearing. This is the prosperity gospel view. Its whole basis is goofy. Okay? So, I can send you these pros and cons. I didn't give them to you before, did I? Okay, very good. Will be saved spiritually. She dies while birthing a child. Well, again, the pro is the word saved is oftentimes used in a spiritual sense in the New Testament. Okay, that's the only positive. The con is this would teach justification by works. This would imply that if a woman survives giving birth, that her chances of going to heaven decrease than had she died on the operating table. What's that? Yeah, and it excludes bearing. This too would be foreign to the context unless she dies while the male teacher is preaching. Yes. Sure. Yes. And so what Melinda's saying is it would teach a form of universalism in that you don't have to really believe in Christ, you just need to die on the operating table. As it were. Okay, we'll be saved from spiritual uselessness or insignificance through giving birth to children she can influence for Jesus Christ. Now, again, the pros to this is, first of all, the context. Now, first issue is you always evaluate context, right? Well, stating where the lady's maximum place of leadership and influence is not, verse 15 now explains where it is. Which I think would be the logical question, would it not? If you hear that she's not permitted to teach or to exercise authority over man, what is your logical question? Well, where can I then? Where can I then? You don't tell a person what they can't do without telling them what they can do, without leaving them feeling insignificant and helpless in some ways. Okay, yes? Yes, exactly. Why not? Verse 14. Yes. Then where can I be? Very good. Yeah? And I'll tell you, this is what a good teacher does. What does a good teacher do? He not only explains the principle, but he anticipates the questions. He anticipates, well, why and why not? And therefore, and that's what you want to do as a teacher. You are always sensitive to your audience, and that's what you're learning in composition, right? Okay? Secondly, the content nevertheless states a contrast between a local church and the home. So is there some contrast? Number two, the word she speaks of individual women in view is consistent with verses 11 and 12. 13, will be saved could easily refer to spiritual uselessness and insignificance in the context. Okay? Number four, childbearing can be understood in its normal sense without forcing it to have a unique meaning like the birth of Jesus Christ here. The bearing of children. Five, they indicates that all Christian women generally have this opportunity. If they means in reference to the women, which we will talk about, okay? If they continue highlights the importance of being a certain kind of godly woman and not merely having children, the opposite of Eve. Now that's again assuming the they is reference to the woman. Okay? Also, the comparison of 1 Timothy 5, 13 through 15 can tie into this. Okay? And so there is this comparison. It does tie in. This is the closest other passage, I think, to this. But they're not exactly apples to apples. Now, here's some cons. Will be saved is not used like this specifically in any other passage in the New Testament. You know of any other passage that says she will be saved from spiritual insignificance or uselessness? No, there's not another passage that I know of in itself. And so that's the con. Now, being saved second tense certainly ties into that. But I don't think specifically there's any other passage that says it. So the conclusion that I have come to is that the last view is the best view. Why? Context, local church. What a woman can't do. Why she can't do it. Therefore, where is her place of impact, significance, leadership? Is a woman a leader in a home? Absolutely. 1 Timothy 5 again says she is to rule her home. Yes, with her husband. Yes, ultimately under his authority. But she's managing the home. In fact, remember the average man in that day went out of the home and worked or was busy for hours. So who's managing the home? And in some cases, remember homes had servants. So who was left with the day-to-day operation of managing the home usually? Well, the wife. Let alone the servants and the children. And children, again, usually in those days, having a lot of kids was certainly a good thing, obviously, which is what God says it is. And so I think the general context, the specific context, the particular content of the verse, the elimination of the other views, all those things come into play to say, this seems to be what it's saying. Okay, what struggles did you have with it, or what questions might you have? Okay, Philip?
I absolutely agree with that this point still resolve.
Yes. Okay, so the question is, how can they be saved through the bearing of children? Okay. Go ahead. Okay, some Pucci say that some thought it was the act of childbearing. Others believe, and I think this is the normal view, that the phrase, the bearing of children, carried with it more than the act of delivery, but all that's involved in motherhood. Yeah, or just, when you deliver kids, it doesn't stop there. I mean, I think that's somewhat assumed. You know, I say, well, I had my kid, I guess I'm saved from spiritual insignificance because I had a kid. Well, no, it depends on where you go from there. See, and the question of the they is going to go back to this, and we will resolve this next time, is the word they, question. Is it speaking of the women, general context again, in verse 11 and 12? No, 12 and 13, what does it say? I permit not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. Exercise authority over the man, but to be in silence. Four. So is it going back to women generally speaking? Or is it in reference to the children that she bears? Or is the word women, she shall will be saved in childbearing, if they, the parents, both man and woman, because it does take two to have a child, continue in faith and hope and love with self-control? So that's the question. What's the antecedent to they? That's the question. Yes, Melinda? Sure. Okay, just hold that thought so I can communicate. So Melinda's saying that, you know, when we just talk about this, that if you interpret the they to be the children and their spirituality, what you're saying is that the woman's spiritual significance is tied to and predicated upon her kid's spirituality. Well, yeah, but sanctification and spirituality are tied together. She used the word spirituality, I think. Here, hold on. I'm just going to give you the mic here. That's okay. No, I'd rather them hear you.
I just think that if it's the parents as they, it's also problematic because then you also tie in the husband's role or whatever, you know, into hers as well, when you know that a person's spirituality or sanctification, whatever, is their own personal choice. It can't be based off anybody else's choices. And so I think that's the problem with the bottom two.
Well, I think you have to go back to ask what the specific context is. And is it salvation? Is it really first tense or second tense, and it seems to me it's talking about their having leadership roles and being able to function with authority, I guess. So it's not really commenting on spirituality. I think it's going back to the specific issue, which was we don't want you know, Paul didn't want them to usurp authority and teach in the local church. So the logical question is, well, where can they lead? It's not about salvation and spiritual or spirituality. It's where can they function? Where can they lead? Where can they make a difference? I think maybe that's a fine difference, but I think it's...
Just going to comment quickly on Melinda's, that their children are not mentioned anywhere else in the passage, so it's kind of a stretch. So that would be one of the reasons why not to think that it, that they is children.
Okay, I think you're saying the stretch is children are mentioned, except it does say she will be saved through their children. So children are mentioned in the passage.
I think you've got a time problem as well, because you're going to wait until the children, you find out if the children turned out okay before you can determine if she's been okay, if she's okay.
If she's okay. It's about whether she's useful.
Okay, but...
Remember, you have to keep going back to, is she spiritual? That's not what's being asked. Mm-hmm. Well, whether she's...
Her usefulness is still dependent on a time factor, and you wait for the children to mature first. And
yeah, and part of what you're saying here is this. Philip is arguing that, in a sense, you're looking at end product. Now, think about it. You're looking at end product. If the kids are continuing in faith and love and hope with self-control, then it shows you were spiritually useful. So you're looking at end product. The women are arguing that we're not looking at end product, we're looking at means to product. A woman who's godly has spiritual significance in her home. Okay, go ahead, Melinda. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so what Melinda is really saying is, can you say that in one sentence, Melinda?
I haven't got the 30 words yet.
Oh, okay, very good. Pucci? Okay. Okay, yeah, will be saved is in the future tense. Now, I will interact with this in our next class, but let me just say one thing before we leave here. It appears as though if she continue in faith and hope and love with self-control is the opposite of Eve in verse 14. Now, think about this. What did Eve do? She stepped out of faith. Faith. What are the words there? Faith, holiness, love, and did she have self-control? All those things are the opposite of Eve in verse 14. And if that is how we understand it, it would point then to the they being the wife or mother instead of the children. Okay? But we'll talk about that next time. Pucci? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. Well, our time is gone. We're going to give you about a 7-minute break or so, maybe 10, for Carol to come on up.